You're listening to DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. On the phone with me right now, Trevor McKinven, former townshiper, now living in Montreal, has put together this play. Now, this is like about, well, 5 years in the making, essentially. It was written about 5 years ago, but it's being put on at the Piggery Theatre in the coming weeks. So, Trevor, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Miss Sheila Q?
I'm at home right here, doing my thing. Being happy and enjoying myself.
I wish I was with you. I wish I wasn't in Montreal. I wish I was there with you.
We have to do a live. This has to happen live in studio at some point. We've just got to make that work out while you're down in the townships.
So I would love that. I would love that.
Let's start off. I'm just going to read the blurb that you sent me, actually. Just to kind of get things rolling, because it was such a good synopsis of what you've put together here. Now, when all air traffic was ordered to land on 9/11, the small town of Gander, Newfoundland, absorbed and embraced over 6,500 stranded passengers. They had the airport facilities to accommodate the influx, but not the hotels, restaurants, so the town folk took the displaced into their homes, giving them a place to rest, a weary head, have a good home-cooked meal, and a dose of old-fashioned Newfoundland hospitality. So there's four of these plain people from this situation, as they reunite and reflect on that long international slumber / kitchen party. So what a great concept. That is a forgotten most people. That's something that we probably, I remembered it as soon as I read that, but it was gone for me. So tell me how you came to about doing this.
Okay, well, basically, yeah, I think you're right. I think it kind of slipped under the radar for some people, right?
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is I was away in Europe when 9/11 happened. In fact, I left the day before 9/11 and went to Scotland, spent half my time in Scotland, half my time in Italy, about 2 years. And so my experience of 9/11 was with a bunch of basically strangers. You know, they were relatives and stuff, but I didn't really know the people very well. So it was really tough going through such a historic, you know, traumatizing tragedy and not having the friends that you've had all your life and your family to kind of bounce things off of, right?
Yeah, and to kind of, because I think, you know, for generations before us, it was stuff like, where were you when the war ended? Where were you when JFK was shot? Where were you when Elvis died? For Generation X, it's where were you when 9/11 happened?
9/11, exactly.
You know, I remember that I was working from home that day, that I was at the computer, that I flipped on the TV and just to kind of have background, and I kept changing the channel because it was, and I was like, why is it the same thing on every channel? That's the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And I was alone. My best friend had just, and my roommate had just come back from there. He'd been in New York City 3 weeks earlier.
Oh, man.
I called him at work. He was 5 minutes away. He left work and came back, and we sat there in horror. So for you being across the pond, you know, that's a pretty strange experience to be processing it all when you're not experiencing it with everybody here back in North America. You know?
And it was so hard to get a hold of anyone back here. Like, I was at an email cafe in Glasgow the day I got there, you know. I was staying with family in a little village in the country, was in the city for the day, got this email from a friend at home, and then went out on the street and on the main drag called Saki Hall Street, and there was a crowd of people around a TV store or window watching the second one go in. So I saw the second one go in.
Yes, I saw that too.
Had a, you know, mini stroke, you know, and basically, I mean, there was actually a reporter there from the Scotland Evening News or whatever, Glasgow Evening News, and they heard me talking to someone. They assumed I was American. They said, you know, how does it feel to be an American watching this from over in Scotland, you know? And I just said, well, first of all, I'm Canadian. Let's get that straight. You know, first off the bat, I'm not an American. And then they asked me a couple questions, but I was a stunned bunny. I mean, I didn't know my, you know, what from my elbow. So I headed home, and in the 2 or 3 hours it took to get back to the farm, staying with my uncle John and Karen, like, I came in the door, and they just took the mickey out of me. They're like, you've been here a day, you're all on the news, you know, and they just ripped me to pieces, and they said, you've embarrassed the family because I sounded like a real, you know. But, you know, I was taken so off guard by the news reporter, and I don't even know what I don't remember what I said. But anyway, yeah, that was my first day. And then it just kind of turned into a whole kind of solo trip. I mean, it just, I did a lot of writing because of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, when I got back just under 2 years later, that's the first time I ever heard about this gander gathering at all. I hadn't heard about it over in Europe.
So it wasn't, had it been covered so much on international news, it was something that was more...
Not at all, yeah. Probably just in the States and definitely in Canada, but
yeah.
Definitely not in Italy or Scotland where I was. So it was the first time I'd heard of it, and I was fascinated. I couldn't believe it. I just thought, I would give anything to have been a fly on the wall just watching some of the shenanigans or tomfoolery that would go down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine some of the pubs and some of the houses with the kitchen parties and, like, people from, you know, Argentina or Japan or you name it. I mean,
being put up in
people.
Gander.
Yeah. I mean, of all places, right?
Yeah.
With that amazing Newfoundland charm that they've got.
Oh, man. My grandfather was from Grand Falls, and let me tell you, we loved it when we've had cousins that have come over to visit. And it was half the time, it was mostly just trying to decipher some of their expressions. But, like stay where you're at, and I'll come where you're to. And, you know, we were kind of like, I don't know. I'm just going to stand here and then point.
So I know
where to go.
Oh, for sure. I mean, just that alone. I mean, it must have been... So much must have been lost in translation, you know?
Yeah.
But the whole point of this play is, like, the thread that runs through all the characters is the fact that it didn't matter what you looked like, what you believe in religious-wise, you know, anything. All that mattered is that they showed a good time, they were made comfortable, fed some, you know, decent food, and, you know, that was it. That was all, you know?
I think... So often we get distracted from the real hospitality that actually goes on every day in the world and that we are capable of when it comes down to it. Like, nobody wants to see somebody out in the street or, you know, and I think even more so there's really something to be said for when you grow up in small towns, there's sort of this automatic, like thing to look after people, you know, at the end of the day, you know, maybe if it's just a question of being thrown together somewhere, well, that's a different thing. But if people are in need, there you go. Like we said, there was this thing my friend's dad had said where he claimed that a good t-shirt for the townships should say, the Eastern townships, we'll talk about you behind your back, but if your house burns down, we'll build you a new one.
Hey, that's perfect. that is bang on, for the townships.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, my God, I suppose so. When I talk to my friends that live in Halifax or, you know, anywhere all over the world, we get into these five-minute sessions on the phone we call townships talk.
Yeah.
And we start using expressions, probably expressions that we heard. Like, I grew up on a farm. I had farming grandparents, and they always used I suppose, so not too bad, you know, well, I don't know about that there, you know, all that kind of stuff.
You know that.
Yep. That's a classic with the grandparents. I find that's across the board in the tangents. Anyway, I'm on
it's kind of, but these are good tangents. We were, just yesterday, we were talking about words that we grew up with. My brothers and I that we're trying to use again, like we're making a point of using because our family never didn't say thank you. They always said ta. And that's one of those expressions that you only hear in certain places too. So it's, you know, it's these little bits of culture. So, okay, let's get back to the play. And, so, you know, you experience this being overseas, the reaction to 9/11 and then process it, find out about Gander and the hospitality of the people there and are inspired to write this play. So which is about to be put on at the Piggery in North Hatley. Tell us about the play. Like, tell us about what goes on in this. And you're doing this on your own. This is a one-man show.
Oh, I couldn't find anyone. I couldn't drag anyone kicking and screaming into it with me because it was kind of came about in a period of about 2 weeks or something like that. I spoke to the board of directors at the Piggery, and of course I got an in at the Pig,
right,
as they say, because my parents are volunteers there and they work their keisters off to keep that place kicking.
Who are your parents?
Ruth and Derwin McKinvin.
Okay, we need to mention that.
Shout out, holla. So they were talking about how they need a, you know, an injection of a local yokel or something, you know, just to get the get everyone excited and get maybe a different kind of age group coming in and stuff.
Well, yeah.
So I just by just mistake, really. I just said, oh, I wrote these monologues 6 years ago when I got back from Europe, and haven't looked at them in 6 years, but I could maybe find them and brush them off and see if somebody could maybe, we could find 5 or 6 actors, because I wrote like 20. I wrote about 20, but I had to siphon it down to the 4 that are in the play, just for time, you know. And basically, it was, you know what, I think I was kind of interested in what it must have been like for them, because they were caught in a place that they did not know anyone. Mm-hmm. They were totally alone. They probably couldn't get a hold of family and friends, because it was really tough during those days, and they were stuck there for a good week. So, and of course, they didn't know that they would be there, of all places, right? I mean, I knew I was going to be in Europe, you know, so
yep.
I had that. But it was just, I wanted to get in their heads, and it was just sheerly to entertain myself. Like, what would a girl named, I don't know, Evita Williams from Brooklyn think about Gander, Newfoundland, and getting screeched in? You know? Would she go into toxic shock or what? I just don't know. So I wrote these monologues just to make myself, you know, tickle my fancy and make myself chuckle and whatever. And when I read them again 2-3 months ago, they were awful. Yeah, no, they were pretty bad. Most of them were terrible, and I kind of chucked half of them. And then I kind of thought, well, these ones have a heart to them. And I did a lot of editing, a lot of scratching off, and a lot of adding in, and made them a little more current, added a little bit of political fire to them. And so I did it for like a small group, you know, focus group, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get a little bit of critiquing and feedback from them, and they were on the ride. Like they were the my what actually propelled me to agree to do it was actually somebody came up and said, you know what, I had to snap back into reality after you were done, because about 2 minutes into it, I was gone. Like I was on the ride. I was on the ups and downs, and I never once thought it was, oh, it's Trevor up there doing a woman who's,
it's that
45.
Suspension of disbelief. Like they're,
suspension of disbelief. Yeah,
yeah. That's, I mean, wow. That's, you can't ask for more.
No, I couldn't. Really,
when you're
honestly,
on stage,
yeah.
Whether you're, you know, whether it's a movie, yeah. whether it's a, you know, whatever, but when you're on yeah. stage and you're yeah. able to transport your audience like that, blah, then you've, yeah, then it's something that's so worth putting together and pursuing.
And that's it. I mean, that's the key right there. Like, I thought, there's no way I'm going to do this if I cannot really tie down the body movements. I don't want any cross-pollination, you know. I don't want the character just before's arm flailing to, you know, inject
yeah.
into the next character. And I definitely, I mean, of course, the accents, you got to get those down pat. I don't know if I have, but I've had a couple people from each of the places where the characters are from come up and give me the two thumbs up and said, you hit the nail on the head. So
oh,
I'm pretty happy with
great.
Yeah, that felt pretty good too. But, you know, you got to just feel the fear and do it anyway, you know.
Absolutely.
Use the fear as the fuel, you know.
Well, that is the thing that's going to take you there, because you need, it's, there's an energy in that anxiousness, you know,
yeah.
that you're kind of like, okay, no, you know what? I'm afraid, but I'm going to take this
yeah.
thing and I'm rock it out. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put on some music, and then when we come back,
yeah.
I want to discuss your characters.
Perfect.
Because I think
that's
we need
good.
To meet them. All right. This All right. is Trevor McKinven discussing his play. What's the title of your play?
They came from away.
They came from away. I yeah. love it. Alrighty. Okay, so we'll be back with more from Trevor in just a few. Alrighty, this is part 2 of my interview with Trevor McKinven to discuss his play, They Came From Away, which is going to be up at the Piggery over the next couple of weeks. Now, I've got the schedule here somewhere. The performances will be taking place on Tuesday, August 10th at 2 p.m., Wednesday, August 11th at 8 p.m., Saturday the 21st, 8 p.m., and that's a fundraiser for Townships Association. All right, go Townshipers.
Yeah, there you go.
Thursday, September 2nd at 2 p.m., Friday, September 3rd at 8 p.m., Thursday, September 9th at 8 p.m., and they'll, you know, we never know, other dates could happen. I'm going to post all of that information on the Facebook page, and I'll repeat it later on as well, guys. So Trevor, now take us back. The play, it's Gander, 9/11 has happened, this plane has gotten is sent there, and these people are stuck, and
yep.
you have these four characters, so talk to us a little bit about the who you will be personifying during your performance.
Okay, so basically it's I guess you could call it a reunion on stage of the class of Gander 2001. as they gather to kind of like reminisce about the week that they spent together, I called it an impromptu international slumber party. and actually the narrator, I guess the master of ceremonies or the circus guy, would be Johnny Fever McDermott, and he's an old school Newfoundlander. He calls himself a Newfie. I know that's okay with some people, not with others. But and he called it it was a regular Newfnited Nations, according to him.
Newfnited Nations.
You like that?
Yeah, I love it.
So Johnny is full of vim and vigor, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't beat around the bush. Let's just say. I don't know if did you want to speak to Johnny?
I do. Or? Johnny, is Johnny there?
Yeah, I can get him. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead. Take your time. We're gonna have Johnny.
Hello, my dear. Who's this? Is this Sheila Q?
This is Sheila Q.
Oh my! How are you, my dear?
I'm doing great. It's so nice to speak with another celebrity out there. Me being a celebrity myself, I guess. I've just decided.
Yes. Oh my God! You're gonna have to send me your autograph, or maybe I'll come into the station and see you.
You should.
You've got a beautiful voice, my dear. You do have a beautiful voice.
Thank you so much. I have to admit that I am rather impressed with yours as well.
Well, my lover, it's just, you know, it's 76 and a half years of practice, right?
Well,
living up on the rack.
My goodness. This is...
Yes.
Johnny, you're involved in this situation back in 2001 and are reuniting, seeing these people back together. How has this been for you? What's this experience?
Oh, my God. It's been one heck of a blast, my God. You know, I was really interested in hearing what they had to say about coming up to Gander, right? Because I know we're no Las Vegas or what have you, but, I mean, we showed them a good time, I think, right? I mean, it was tough, though, because there was a couple of people. There's this Sherry Jones, right? She stayed with me for a week or two, right?
Yes.
And she was tough because we didn't get along with the old politics, because she loves herself some George W. Bush, right?
Oh, dear.
She does, and I'm no big, not a fan of that man at all. No, not a fan. But what I said to her one day, I asked her, well, why do you love the man so much, my dear? And she said, well, it's because he's born again and he found Jesus. Well, I looked her square in the eye, Sheila, I did, and I said, he found Jesus. My God, I didn't even know he was after missing. God, I hope he found Mother Mary and Joseph, too. I heard they were MIA. Oh, my Lord. It was one of those things, you know, just all kinds of stuff happening.
I can only imagine how Sherry reacted to such a
thing. Well, she wasn't too happy. I kind of ruffled her feathers, though, I guess you could say there, you know. And then there was Giovanni, right, and he's this old Italian, right? Oh, my God, he's a real flirt, right? If he met you, Miss Sheila Q.
Yes.
If he met you, my God, he'd be all over you like cheese on a pizza. It's true, he would. My God, he'd ask you for your digits, and if you felt the need to give him anything, I'd advise you give him the finger and tell him to shut off.
That sounds like sound advice, Johnny.
Oh, my God, he's trouble. The capital T. Well, I know, because I used to be like him right back in the day. That's how I got my name, Johnny Fever McDermott, because I used to get the girls out up under their collars, my dear.
Oh, yeah. I get it. I was wondering where that came from. It's really nice to know the origins of it, background on Johnny Fever.
Yes, I gave him a fever every time I saw him. In any case, well, I don't know. You're probably bored of talking to me, are you?
John, never. But well, I feel it at the same time. Maybe I need to save some, because I'm going to have to come, and we're going to have to spend time together in a couple of weeks.
Oh, well, I can't wait to have you over, my God. We'll go down to the bar over to Piggery, right?
Yes.
And we'll have ourselves a regular old pig kitchen party, you know?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, my God. You know, we're happy to be at the Piggery, right? Like, I was searching on the internets, right, for a good place to have my reunion, invite all my friends, you know, have the gathering, my God. I didn't expect the Kennedy Center, nor did I expect Carnegie Hall, my dear, but I did not expect the bloody pig barn.
I imagine.
I know.
And the folks that are about to gather there as well. And now we get to host you. You know, you had this opportunity to host these people, and now, you know, we're going to host you. The townships is open arms for you.
Out of town.
You'll be right at home.
Oh, I think I'm going to relate to everyone really nice. Yeah, they seem like really nice people. But, You know, I don't. Did you want to speak to anyone else? Because
sure.
I got Sherry here, or it's up to you.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, Sherry. I'd love to hear from Sherry. I'd love
okay.
to.
Okay, well, yeah. Hold on. Here she is. Now,
right.
I warned you about her, right?
Yes, I'll
okay.
do my best.
Hold on. 2 seconds here.
Yep. Take your time.
Sherry,
all right, we're about to hear from Sherry here.
Hi. Hello?
Hi,
Hello?
Sherry.
Oh, hi. Is this Sheila Q?
This would be Sheila Q at CJMQ 88.9 FM.
Oh, great time of day, y'all. I can't believe I'm on the radio in Canada.
Well, goodness. You just seem to have this wonderful personality. I think you just sound perfect on the air. How
oh,
are you?
Stop. I've never been on the radio before.
Really?
Oh, I'm so nervous, y'all.
Well,
oh.
I hope I don't make you feel that way. We're just delighted to have you, and we'll be so glad to host you in a few weeks.
Well, I'm just so appreciative because, yeah, the hospitality of the Canadians are just, we're overwhelmed by it up in Gander, as well as in the eastern townships. I mean, it just knocked our socks off and straight into the washer, Sheila. It was unbelievable. I mean, all of y'all are just so, I'm sorry, my children always tease me about saying y'all all the time. I say y'all like y'all say a.
Oh, well, you know, it's just a part of you then, and we'll accept
real
that,
hard.
Too.
It's hard being from the South. I'm a Southern mutt. I was born in Kentucky. I moved to Texas when I was about 11 years old because my dad got a job there.
Yes.
And then I moved over to Georgia when I went to college. So that's where I met my husband. That's where I live now. So.
Well, there's that's a whole lot of culture. That's a whole
yeah,
lot
man.
Of culture.
It's a whole mishmash. They call me a mutt.
And a whole lot of good people.
Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, the Southern folks are just like the Canadians, just the salt of the earth.
Well,
God bless y'all.
You know, it's just an absolute thrill to have a chance to speak with you, Sherry. How do you feel about this reunion? What is this bringing back for you?
Oh, my Lord, it was the most difficult time I'd ever experienced in my life. I mean, I'd never been on a plane. I'd been on a plane once, and then we were rerouted to Newfoundland, and I thought to myself, well, never has a name been so apropos for a place. It truly was a Newfoundland for me. I mean, I didn't know much about Canada at all. Celine Dion was from here. Y'all like your ass honky a lot and maple syrup and all that jazz, but I didn't know the details about Newfoundland. My God, it felt like Ireland. I was heading to Ireland that day, and I felt like I was in Ireland. I mean, I got off the plane, and I thought, well, these people are speaking Irish. I mean, they sound like they're Irish, you know. Oh, my Lord. It's just, and when Johnny called up and said, we're going to have a reunion up in Canada, I said, I will move heaven and earth to get there. And my husband had to drive me all the way because, of course, that was a sign from God that day. I'm not supposed to be getting on a plane ever again. So,
oh, really?
Oh, I tell you, it was real hard because you can probably relate that we're real busy. I got 3 children, you know. I mean, we are as busy as a cat in its litter box, y'all.
Of course.
It's just
yes.
unbelievable. So, but we made the time, and y'all, we're going to be there at the piggery. My
the piggery.
God, what an interesting place.
Well, I assure you, it's a lovely place too. You'll quite enjoy it, and the surroundings, and the kindness of the people there too. We'll be gracious hosts here in the townships.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second. And I hope I get to meet you, Miss Q.
You absolutely will.
Wonderful.
Yes. Well, it'll be just lovely to actually get a chance to meet you in person, Sherry. You know, not just this radio business. And you're doing just fine on the radio, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Natural.
My voice probably doesn't sound very
good. Oh,
over the
no,
air
it's
way.
Wonderful. It's as clear as a bell, and you're just lovely.
Well, as long as I don't sing.
Okay.
I have been known to go to karaoke from time to time, but I'm certainly not going to pull that out now.
Well, maybe we can get you to while you're here, though.
Oh,
we'll have to.
I don't know. Maybe if they bring out that old screech that they fed us up in Newfoundland.
Screech is something else. That can.
Oh, good Lord. I acted a fool when I had some of that screech. Whew. Not going to touch that ever again. I'm a good Christian woman. I don't like to drink.
So no screech and no planes for you.
Not at all. And no using toilets, public washrooms at the gas stations, because I had an experience on the way up when I came up to visit Johnny. I was at a gas station in Newark, New Jersey, and I had to wait for a questionable young lady to exit the bathroom. And
yes.
When she came out, and my breath was taken away. In fact, I don't think I've even caught my breath yet. Listen to me, Sheila. Her top was too low, her heels were too high, and, well, her dress was about the size of a napkin. It was a genuine lady of the night.
Oh, dear.
A working girl.
You know, you don't mind so much if she's the one waiting for the bathroom after you. But if she's emerging and you're heading in, no, that's not a good experience at all.
Well, tell me about it. I used about half a roll of toilet paper on the toilet seat before I did my business. Oh, I prefer to use Cracker Barrel or Denny's or Ponderosa because
sure.
their bathrooms smell much better. And
you're not
going to find a hooker. Oh, my Lord, I can't even believe I said hooker. I hope my kids don't hear this.
Oh, Sherry, don't worry. No.
You should just tell me to get right off the line right now. No, I'm just going to get myself in trouble.
Well, I just want the chance to throw my arms right around you and just give you a big old hug when we get a chance to meet in a couple of weeks when you're in town. Oh my goodness. Thanks so much, Sherry.
I'll let you go then. Okay, take care
All right,
now. You, Bless you.
You too.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
All right, so... That's quite
a gang.
She's a handful. We didn't even get into Giovanni and Frankie, but I don't think we have time for that.
You know what? They're gonna be there. And now you have us. I'm so caught up. But you were talking about people being there for the play and being completely. That was Sherry and Johnny and.
I mean, they're here. They're
yeah, well, no, I'm so glad that they were able to be a part of the show tonight. I was not really anticipating that. Yeah, well.
We're on intimate...
I think they could probably still surprise you, though, Trevor.
Oh, I tell you.
This is Trevor McKinven, just for any of you who are tuning in now and wondering what the heck has just happened. there is a fantastic play that's going to be put on over the next couple of weeks at the Piggery. They came from away, all based on the reunion of four travelers who were stuck in Gander, Newfoundland after 9/11, after the occurrence of the events in New York City and elsewhere in the States and Washington on September 11th, 2001. So, wow, I'm so excited now. You have no idea. I think I'm gonna have to. I need tickets for more than one performance because I'm gonna want to go back.
Hey, come to all of them because they change every night. I gotta go with the flow, as they say. We had one incident the very first night, because I've already done it a few times, so
yep.
The very first night there was an incident that I had to just roll with, because I couldn't ignore the fact that there was this loud noise happening, and I kind of just acknowledged it, you know, because they're there, you know, they're on the Piggery stage, and they're just shooting the shizzle.
Yep, absolutely.
You just got to jam it out.
Oh my God, that was just the most exciting thing. I wish you could see the grin. I was just sitting here trying to think and having to back up from the mic on several occasions and go. I didn't have to shut it off, but I was very close at a few points.
So oh well, you know, you just gotta. You gotta accept the present of presence. I heard that. A couple weeks ago, the present, like the gift of presence.
Heck
so as long
yes.
as you're not in the future or in the past, and you're in that moment, you can pull off, you can actualize the impossible.
I think that the biggest movement currently should be non-movement, and that should have to do with living the present moment, because we're way too often either preoccupied with something that happened in the past or preoccupied with something that's going to happen and anticipating something, and we're completely forgetting what we're actually just living.
I couldn't say it better. I mean, it's just that I read in a book a couple years ago, I can't even remember who wrote it, but they said the expression they used was shitting on yourselves. Like I should've, could've, would've. That's just a waste of time, so stop shitting on yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. Oh, man. Okay, Trevor McKinven.
Second delay.
Hang on. No, we're good. That's good. Okay. You know what? And hang on just one second, everybody out there. We're going to put on more music. We're back with Trevor McKinven in just a sec because he's going to go through the final four. You're listening to DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Part three and the final segment of the Trevor McKinven interview of August 2010. This is epic times right here, Trevor.
I agree.
Making it, this has just been so much fun. But this interview, a DH Radio interview, would not be complete without the final four. So brace yourself, man. Like, do a little hand stretching, I recommend, and maybe the tree, a little less yoga centering and so on.
I'm nervous. The only bonus of being at home and not in the studio with you is that I'm so nervous that I'm going to take my pants off.
Take your pants off. And that would be okay here, too. I'm very, you know what, it's about comfort. Just feel...
I'll feel better.
Yes, you will. You probably will. You know. Okay. So, Trevor McKinven, writer and performer of They Came From Away, about to go up at the Piggery, and we'll repeat all those dates after. Here we go. What would you say is your greatest strength?
I like to full beep it. And by beep, I mean the word that rhymes with crass.
Okay.
You know how some people half beep it?
Mm-hmm.
I like to... Yeah, I like. There's no room for mediocrity. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it 186% or something like that. And I like to laugh at life, even the not-so-pretty stuff.
It's the only way to fly. Because, you know, you can have the weepy moments. Have them, get them out of your system.
Yeah.
But really, what's going to help is just to settle down and have a chuckle over the ridiculousness of some things.
Yeah, you got to kick it like a cricket and just show them your goodies.
Yeah.
After you've gone through the bad stuff. And then,
186% seems to come pretty natural to you, though, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think that number is pretty specific, isn't it?
I think so.
As my grandfather... We used to say 165, that's another township's, is it townshipers that say numbers like that? 165, like they don't say 65, they say 65.
You know what, I think you're right, and I think, and I just hadn't noticed, but I think you're right. I think I'm too immersed in it to notice now, but no,
right.
I think you're right.
I've been away long enough, heard enough different accents and this and that, that I realized, wow, the townships really does have an accent going on. But
I think it does depend on where you are in the townships too, because there are different accents from different places as well.
Huge, and
expressions that just get used, which is that's
incredible.
Yeah, I love it.
Shut the front door.
Shut the front door.
I don't know. I heard that townshiper say that once, and I like that one.
It's about the creativity. It's about the being really creative. My mom. Yeah. Want to hear my mom sort of swear? Expression. This is quite funny.
Uh-oh.
Instead of actual, she's listening right now. I know it. She's like,
uh-oh,
oh my God, what's she gonna say? But my mom, when mom has a moment and she just wants to say, oh well, you know, she says, oh fudge hole to hell, which I think is like the best expression ever, because there's nothing really bad about that, and there's fudge hole to hell.
Oh, that's got chutzpah.
Isn't
that great?
It's great. It's excellent, and there is nothing impressed about it.
I hope she hasn't copyrighted that.
No, that's a Linda Quinn one that she will offer up to you, Trevor McKinvin, and I know she's going to come and see you. So
it's
because
a Linda Quinn quote.
Exactly. Okay, now we got to move on from the greatest strength to the greatest weakness. What would you say is your greatest weakness?
Oh, so
faced
many,
with that is hard,
many.
Eh? I find that one tough, too.
I talk too much. I need to simmer down sometimes and just kind of, like you were saying before, be a human being, you know, like being in the
mm-hmm.
moment kind of thing. That would definitely be it. You know how people label people a little too much, right? Like, you
mm-hmm.
got to be one thing or another. This
yes.
I used to do that. I don't like labeling any. I don't want anyone to label me. I don't want to label anyone. So I just want to, I guess that, does that make sense?
Yes, but, I sort of get where it comes from, though, because you're just making little compartments of people.
Yeah.
You
right,
know?
Right, yeah.
It's just so that you kind of, you're a, a
mm-hmm.
stamp
so-and-so.
Cutter, offer, and saver.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You're one of those guys, eh? You're the.
You can't be anything else. Yeah. That's it. That's all you are to me. No, I don't like it when people do that.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't like it. I used to get I paint a lot too, and I like this idea. Joni Mitchell always talked about the idea of crop rotation. Like when she was sick and tired of writing music, she'd pop over to the easel and start painting.
Yes.
And I started incorporating that more into my life, which I didn't before. So I dislike that about me too, and how I would.
Does it feel flighty? Like you're not completing something?
Yes, but you need the rejuvenation to go back to the painting, and then you know exactly what you need to do to it then, whether it's a few weeks later or a few hours later, once you've maybe picked up a guitar or maybe worked on a play or monologue or whatever you want to call this thing that. That has been born, that I birthed in the last little while. I'm just doing. There you go. That's not really an answer to your question.
But it is, because you know what? It's part of the. It sounds a little bit maybe like you beat yourself up a little. Are you hard on yourself, kind of?
I
you believe in yourself, but you notice these things and are like, oh, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, the only standard that I want to have, which I find hard to get to, is you got to have, if you're going to create something, if you're going to make something that's never been before, whether it's a song or a painting, play, whatever, it has to have, I use this word, you know, it has to have purpose, but I like to call it purpose.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of little things. Eh? Pure, like it's got to be coming from a really pure, authentic place. It's got to be pure puss. Do you like that?
Mm-hmm. I do. That one works, man. And that's exactly, you know what? I get where you're coming from with that, because that's one of the things that at least the way I interpreted what you said is something that I do too, where I sometimes can't complete something without going to do something else and then coming back to it, because otherwise, what I'm putting out is going to be a little bit too radio songy, and it's not going to be the authentic, real thing that it's supposed to be. It's going to be me forcing myself to finish it.
There you go.
And
that's
so
right.
It's kind of like, okay, I have to switch media. I've got to, because I do a lot of different creative things too, so I can kind of imagine where that's coming from.
So yeah, I think you get what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So what would you say, Trevor, is your favorite candy?
Okay. Now you're asking the serious question.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to say, I don't know if I can say, but it's not really a candy per se. There's a lot of really good candy in Scotland. They have a sweet tooth. That's why their teeth are all rotten. But they have chocolate. They have the Cadburys and stuff.
Yes.
But what I learned over there was something that rocked my world, and it is taking chocolate. Doesn't really matter what kind of chocolate. It's better if it's dark chocolate, because, you know, dark chocolate's really good for you.
Yes.
At least I'd like to think so. And it gives you a lot of mojo in a certain department. Anyway, dipping chocolate in coffee, letting it melt a little bit, a wee bit, and then just putting the little morsel in your mouth and letting it melt away. Yes, and anything maple.
Wait, I'm stuck. I know you said maple, but I'm very visual.
Yeah.
And I have a habit of, I can get transported quite easily, and I don't know, I think I may have had some kind of seizure, but maybe a good, very good moment there.
My
cheese is on fire.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, it will be if you do that. If you dip the chocolate in the coffee, your cheese will be like the wildfires in D.C. right now. I swear to Buddha.
Unstoppable.
All right. It really will. And if there was some way, and I know there's this Delis d'Érable down in the old port here, and I would love to go there because they got everything maple you can imagine.
Yes.
Oh, I love deep fried Mars bars I ate in Scotland.
Have you
too.
Tried that? I heard about that, but I've never, and in fact, was just talking about that last weekend, but I've never tried it.
Oh, I lived above a chipper when I lived in Edinburgh, and they would deep fry anything. We would come back from the pub, perhaps a little inebriated.
Perhaps. It could happen.
Under the influence. It could happen in Scotland, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And,
been known to happen in Lennoxville, too.
yeah, that's for sure. Hello. The memories, like the corners of my mind. But so, you could bring your sneaker in or a bowl of salad, and they'd slap it on a stick and deep fry it. I swear to God. And but if I could deep fry, like a maple candy or maple butter solidified and coated in dark chocolate, and then deep fried it, I would not be here anymore.
You may. It would be bliss, and it would be Xanadu, is what it would be.
Xana Dizzle. It would be over the top. Oh my gosh. I have to go right now. I'm going to go make that.
You do realize that the thing you just revealed on the radio could make you $1 billion.
Well, I copyrighted right this.
That's
second.
Yours. It's a McKinvin. That's what you have to call it that?
Yeah,
it's a McKinvin.
The McKinvin special.
The McKinvin special.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I you've got to make the incredible credible, and that is incredible, and it could be credible.
It's credible. It's credible to me. I can almost taste it.
Hello, holla.
Holla.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not a religious man, but hallelujah to that. God, I'm having a moment.
that warrants a moment.
I'm sweating.
All right, here we go.
I've got the vapors, as Sherry Jones says.
The vapors.
She
gets the vapors because she's going through the change of life.
Okay.
Poor thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I might have to play "Oh Sherry" by Journey at some point.
That'd be a perfect song.
It could happen. And she would love it too, wouldn't she? I think she would.
Oh, that's one of her favorites. Favorite band.
So, what would you say now we've come to the final of the final four? What would you like to, and this is, I think this may be a little tough, but maybe not. Maybe, I think you know, you, Trevor, you know the answer to this. What would you say you would like to be remembered for?
The McKinvin special.
Yes!
Maple, wrapped in dark chocolate, deep fried. No, that's a terrible answer. I would like, oh, that's crazy. I haven't been here long enough to even think about that. I haven't, oh, geez. I just want people, or I'd like to remember myself in my next life as a creatheist. Just, you know, having lived, you know, on a 24 hours a day kind of creative vibe, like making, even when you're dreaming, like putting your dreams into waking life and kind of things like that. I think that would probably be it, and that would kind of encompass, you know, because you're going to leave stuff behind. Like, you know, I've done a few paintings, and a couple of people have bought them, and, you know, they've been adopted, my little babies. Well, they're my babies for now, but, I think, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think that's a perfect, that's, like, to sort of live creativity.
Yeah. Right.
To
and
live it.
To live it, and sorry to interrupt, but like when you wake up, you know, like you got to decide you're either gonna save the world, or you know, share something with someone during your day, or you could do all of those things in one day.
Yep.
But at least do one of them.
Yep.
So I think that's what I would like to.
Can you repeat that again? What was
that?
Save the world. No, say it again.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Well, I know this sounds like so cliched and like puke in your mouth kind of stuff, but. No, it's like you gotta save the world in little teeny tiny ways, you know?
Save a
spider from going down the drain, for God's sake.
You know what? But the thing is that we can say it's kitschy and whatever, and but it's when it's real and it's true, and what it is actually gonna do is feed your soul, then that is truth.
Amen. Hello.
Heck yes. We'll go. Hallelujah.
I feel like I'm up in church here. Oh my gosh, I forgot to mention somebody so important, and he didn't even help me with the play, but can I just do a shout-out to...
Of course!
Oh, my God, the legend that is Nelson Gonyer.
Nelson Gonyer is a legend.
He is a legend.
Any person that meets that man goes away changed.
Well, I did a few little theater productions with him way back in the day, end of high school kind of deal,
mm-hmm.
and he was looking, glaring over my shoulder the whole time I was prepping this... you know, this collection of monologues, you know, turning it into the play that it now is, I guess. He was there, and I mean, literally, he wasn't there, but he was telling me, "No, buddy, no, that's not going to fly." And then he'd say, "You know what? That works. No, yeah, I'll give you the stamp of approval on that one." You know, but I knew if I was doing something that really wasn't, you know, hitting the nail on the head, he would just say, "Oh God." Oof, no way.
But don't you love that? Because that when you have a person who really affects you and teaches you something, then when you were doing the thing that you learned from them, then you the best sign of a great teacher is that you still feel like you want to measure up to the what it was that they instilled in you. So
I
think Nelson stays with people. That's just the way it is.
I mean, for sure. He came to a show just last week. And I could not have been more ecstatic. I mean, I was over the moon. I saw, like, I could see him when I first went out there, and I had that initial surge of, you know, and his lovely and talented wife, Julie.
Julie, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, love her.
Amazing.
But,
well, we have to.
They were both there, so I thank them. But anyway, just wanted to get the G in.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? This has been such a fun interview. And here's the deal. We're going to try and see. We have the 57 Club, which is these Senka sets that start on the 19th of August. And we're hoping, the fingers are crossed, that maybe you'll be able to be there for our first one on the 19th. From 5 to 7 at Chocolat on Wellington Street.
I gotta be there with bells on. Did you say it's called Chocolat?
It's called Choco-la.
Chocolat.
Yes.
Avec spécial McKinvin.
Exactly. It's like the Choco is là, so you may as well be there too.
Là-bas, là.
I'll be there with bells on.
Well, they may have to scrape the two of us off a ceiling of something or other after following. Yeah, so...
I have a speaking suspicion.
Wow, thank you so much for being on DH Radio, and we're just... You're going to be back. That's all there is to it. This is not the end. This is the beginning.
Whoa, chapter one.
Chapter one.
Well, infinite thanks for letting me just give her.
Heck
on
yes.
the radio with you, because this has been too much fun.
So they came from away. It's going to be happening at the Piggery over the next couple of weeks. I will repeat the dates to you and post them online, and you just need to go. Go to the Piggery, research it, the Piggery Theater in North Hatley, and just go. Trevor McKinvin, you are sheer genius in human form, and I love you to bits already.
Back at ya.
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks.